The toughest one coming up now.
The toughest one coming up.
This one might cause a bit of a debate, but Krunic or Bruno?
Bruno, mate.
That was still quite close.
And then... Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Short Corner Podcast. This is episode sort of 6.5, another one of these half episodes about... like one of the reviews or previews for the Europa League. We're going to be talking about Milan versus Man United, which is one of the bigger games that have been drawn out of the Europa League. Many have said that it's sort of a Champions League game. Joe's not here. He's got uni commitments, but I'm joined by the normal co-host other than that. So Samir, Naeem and Ridi, you all okay? You all right?
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back.
Everyone.
Because it's Manu, Samir is going to introduce our special guest.
I would like to introduce our today's guest, my good friend and a Manchester United supporter, Ali.
Hiya, lads. How's it going?
Happy to have you on.
Good, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
No problem.
All right, take it away.
So just before we start, should we quickly go through the last UCL games that went on last night? So obviously Borussia Dortmund went through and then Juventus didn't. Our main focus probably going to be on the Juventus game. They won 3-2, I believe, but Porto was able to go through on away goals since they got 2 goals away at Juventus Stadium. And most notably, Porto were in 10 men for quite a good chunk of the game. And the Juventus obviously winning the game, but that wasn't good enough. So obviously since I think the past 2-3 years, ever since Ronaldo came in Juventus, everyone had the expectation that, you know, this is how Juventus gonna, you know, win the Champions League, and it just hasn't happened. It seems like the Ronaldo transfer just hasn't worked out at all for Juventus or for Ronaldo, because, and if you look at his performances now, you know, obviously age is a big factor as well. Obviously, he's getting older as well. So we can't expect him to, you know, score hat-tricks every week and that. But at the same time, you know, the team is not good enough, I'd say, for UCL. And just, you know, a bit of an embarrassment as well. Because if you look by who they've been knocked out the past 3 seasons, all respect to Ajax, Lyon and Porto, but obviously they're not, you know, the PSGs, they're not the Barcelonas, they're not the Real Madrid. So, you know, if they were knocked out by those teams, you'd be like, okay, you know, understandable. But obviously they haven't been knocked out by the best teams, and it just shows how, you know, Italian football in a way isn't quite there in the UCL yet. But yeah, what's everyone's thought on Juventus getting knocked out yet again for the 3rd year in a row?
Well, you've been teeny tuning into our episode. You might want to turn it off right now, because, you know, you guys got Ronaldo. Expectations were to win the Champions League, and they're winning less and less each coming season. I think they failed to win Coppa Italia. Napoli won that season. But before Ronaldo came, Allegri was winning every domestic title available to him with Juventus. So that's just been a bit of a disappointment of what happened. And Ronaldo especially, too, he had a really, really bad game last night, I thought. He turned away in the wall. He didn't face the ball. So that was partly due to him that they conceded that free kick. And just a shambolic performance. I guess that's what you get when you appoint an under-17, under-18 coach in Pirlo to try to help you win the Champions League. So it was just really disappointing performance from a Juve perspective. But fantastic in Porto, really. Pepe, I thought, really stood out. Very, very good performance, defensive masterclass, in my opinion. Around 117, 118 minutes, he had a bicycle kick clearance. Also, he had a goal line clearance. On top of all that, he was playing injured from the 17th minute. So that's just, and he's 38 years old, mind you. So that's just, I thought Pepe was my man of the match. Super solid. But that's just my thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't the Portuguese man you thought would step up in that game. And, you know, I think, you know, Pep is probably one of the most underrated defenders in the past decade. And he's proven yet again yesterday that he still has it in a high level. So, you know, I'll be honest, I always haven't been the biggest fan of Pep due to, you know, the way he plays, obviously. But, you know, you got to take your hats off to him given his performances.
Into the Milan talk.
Just before we do, I wanted to ask Ali, as a Man United fan, you know, you had Ronaldo in your team, and obviously I can assume you're a big fan of Ronaldo as well.
Definitely,
How do you feel seeing, you know, Ronaldo Juventus not doing as well as he probably could be?
Feel like he's low-key wasting his talents in Juventus. Like, I don't think he should have stayed at Real Madrid, in my opinion, because he had a good midfield, Kroos, Modric, and he could have done better. But with Pirlo and everything, it's kind of sad how it's turning out to be. You can tell only Ronaldo and Chiesa are only stepping up. I think Chiesa is the best player right now. And it's just sad. Comparing to Messi too, like their last years are not turning out well as every fans would have hoped to be.
Yeah, it's just sad to see both Ronaldo and Messi. Obviously, Messi hasn't been knocked out yet, but, you know, given the first leg, it's likely that they will be knocked out as well. So just, you know, a bit sad seeing, I think you could say, football progress away from, you know, arguably two of the best football players in the world who just, you know, don't have it and can't drag a team as much as they would like to. But yeah, as Matt said, go on, Samir.
No, I just wanted to ask Ali, if like you guys had a chance, would you take Ronaldo for next year?
Next year, I mean, it's like Cavani. It will be like a Cavani signing then, like a temporary thing. But if we have to disrupt our weight structure to get him, then I don't think it's gonna be worth it, because we are trying to fix our weight structure. And that's why even with like David De Gea and Dean Henderson situation, like we're trying to fix the weight structure, which Alexis Sanchez broke basically. I mean, if he can take a wage cut and come here, then I'm happy to see him. One last dance, basically.
Actually, we had a question for you. So why do you support Man United? What caused that?
I mean, it's actually very funny. I grew up in Italy, and my dad supported Lazio. So I've been to Lazio games and stuff, but I never was really into football like that. But when I went back home in Bangladesh, like, obviously all the big teams were only shown on TV. And then one random day, like flicking through channels, I saw like a Man United game. You saw the brilliance of Geek, Scholes, Edwin van der Sar, Ronaldo, Rooney. And like seeing those players were something magical, basically. It was a pretty good sight. I got into their history, and then you never turn back.
Brilliant. I think Matt, you're saying something.
Yeah, I was just saying, is everyone ready to move on to the Milan Man U sort of stuff? Yeah. So if we look at sort of the team's form going into it, Man U kind of had that sort of run where it was a lot of 0-0, the Sociedad game and the Palace game. And then with Milan's been quite disjointed as well. We've had everything from wins away against top four rivals to losses to teams in relegation battles. So I think Milan and Man U are both somewhat inconsistent in their form going into this match. Although Man U have just got that big win against Man City, which is absolutely huge and a massive confidence booster going into it. Alif, I was just wondering, like, where do you think Man U are at, and how, like, if this game was maybe coming in from a 5-game winning streak, would you be more confident? And yeah, just how confident are you as a Man U fan about this game?
I mean, judging by seasonal performance, like, any win doesn't matter, because we're always pessimistic about what's going to happen. And obviously the Man City win was great, but Shaw and Rashford got a knock basically. So they might not start against Milan just for the caution. So in terms of mentality and form, we are there, but you never know what can happen. It's the big stage as well.
I think you mentioned injuries, and I think in terms of injuries, both teams have suffered quite a lot. I think Milan's going to be missing, I believe, 5 or 6 starters, and I know Rashford, Pogba, Mata, and quite a few more for Man United are going to be missing as well, which obviously it's a shame. You know, it would be nice to get both teams on full strength and, you know, just battle it out, because I think, you know, on paper, you know, I personally think Man United has better players, but not in all positions. I think in some sense it's quite balanced. Even though I think Man United is still, you know, a little bit higher level than Milan right now. But I think I would have, you know, liked to see, you know, Rashford against Theo and stuff like that, which obviously we're not going to get. Maybe in the second leg we will. But, you know, it's a shame that we got so many injuries, which is going to obviously worsen the game for both of us. But, you know, I think personally, I think Man United is still favourite, I would say. You know, I was looking at the lineup and, you know, I think Man United still has a lot of their starters. Ali, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't seen too many Man United games recently, but I think you guys still have, you know, most of your starters, whereas we, I would say, are missing three of the four players playing attack would usually start, and then we're missing, obviously, Theo, we're missing Romagnoli, Bennacer, etc. So, yeah.
You know, I think this is one of the biggest games in European football, except the pinnacle, really. I think this is bigger than the Champions League final itself. Like Man United, Milan. These are the games we watched growing up. You know, that Kaká goal, that was a 7-2 absolute bashing. You know, these are the games that, you know, people want to watch, no matter what team you support. If you support Chelsea, if you support Inter, people are going to be tuning into this game. I think it's going to have quite a number of viewers. And going into this, we're the underdogs. Obviously, you know, like Rid said, we're missing quite a few starters. So, you know, just getting one away goal will be fantastic. Even if we lose 2-1, just one away goal will be really, really good for us. So, yeah, I think it's one of the biggest games, and we have to give it our all, no matter what happens. Yeah, so no Theo, no Zlatan, no Hakan, no Bennacer. I think that's about it. And no... Ibra is gone too. So quite a few injuries. So I hope it's a good game regardless.
I think two podcasts ago, I think I said, I'm not sure if anyone, I think Matt agreed with me as well, but I think I said that, you know, first leg, I think we should go all out and, you know, try to get a couple of away goals. But, you know, looking at the team we have right now, the injuries, I think it wouldn't be too wise to, you know, I'm not saying park the bus, because away goals, we need it. But, you know, we can't go all out, obviously, because we don't have half of the team and we don't really have any subs to bring on, except like Brahim Diaz, maybe. I think that's the only person, I think, who could come in and make an impact, and the rest are just pretty much defenders, I'd say. So I think I'll personally, as Naeem said, even if it is 2-1, you know, obviously I wouldn't be happy, but I wouldn't be completely, you know, devastated by it. I think if we can get an away goal and in the hope that by the next leg we have more of a starters back, that would be ideal. Obviously, I think for us, obviously the win would be the best, but, you know, I think it looks a bit unrealistic now. I'll personally be happy with like a 1-1 draw or something like that.
Yeah, Alif, I was just wondering, because in terms of getting into how the game's going to go, I was looking at how maybe the weaknesses that Milan could exploit of Man United and vice versa. So I've seen that we've got maybe we were talking when the draw was made about the idea of Rashford facing Calabria, and thankfully it looks like that might not happen because Rashford's out. And we've got Tomori now instead of Romagnoli, who sort of forces went to the side, and that maybe counteracts the whole Greenwood and Martial pace thing. Is there any areas where you think Man United could be they've got an advantage over Milan in terms of strength, pace, stamina? And do you think there are any areas in the Man United team that Milan could perhaps exploit?
I think Zlatan not playing is an advantage for us because we're sloppy at set pieces. So especially during this season, we have conceded most of our goals as set pieces. So, that's one thing. And pace is what we got, basically. We're going to start Dan James, Greenwood, Martial. So pace is the thing we're going to be relying on. And obviously, we've got Bruno Fernandes for individual creativity. But Pogba not being there kind of hampers us as well because of the lack of creativity. But if Milan are, like, setting back, dropping back, then it's going to be troubling for us because we don't do well against low block teams. So pace will be the thing, and clinical finishing, because of Martial is very on and off. Sometimes with him, we're playing with 10 men as well. So we just need individual brilliance from Bruno or something, and like good teamwork.
Yeah, I think that's similar with Leo as well. I think Leo and Martial are a bit similar in that way. You know, on that day, they're unstoppable. And sometimes you completely forget they're on the pitch. And yeah, I think the biggest threat for Man United, as Alif says, Bruno and the pace. We are missing Theo, who's obviously one of the quickest players we have, but we do have Tomori at the back. So, you know, he would be helpful to, you know, counter against her. I just need Kessie to man mark Bruno for 90 minutes, to be fair, and I'll be more than satisfied with that. I need, you know, like how under Herrera was marking Hazard in the game. So that's what I need from Kessie. Besides that, I think the biggest advantage, because I think both teams play in similar ways in terms of like 4-2-3-1. The biggest advantage, the biggest difference I think Man United has right now, they have Bruno, who's the number 10 and is arguably the best number 10 in the world right now. And we are missing our number 10, which is Hakan, who again is on and off, but having him would definitely help. We do have Krunic now, who had a really good game over the weekend, but he's been really inconsistent and has barely played first team football in the past months. So yes, I think it's going to be a hard one for us, especially when trying to attack. I think we're going to be lacking the creativity, because we don't really have Hakan, we don't really have Ibra, who honestly, Ibra looks like the better number 10 than Hakan sometimes when he drops off and stuff like that. So we're going to be definitely missing that as well. And I'm not too, I'm not expecting Salamakers and Castillejo to be the number 10 and create anything. In fact, I'm expecting Castillejo to disappear again, like he always does. I'm just hoping Leao actually wakes up and has, you know, a good game. You know, obviously he plays his better football, I think, on the wing, but he's going to be deployed as a striker due to the fact we don't have any more strikers right now. But I just hope he wakes up and sees, you know, this is the game where I can make a change. This is the game where everyone's going to see me, Man U versus AC Milan. If I drop a good game now, not only AC Milan fans will see it, everyone will see it, because everyone has names that will watch this game. So I think this is the game for Leo, but especially everyone else to step up, but especially Leo, because I think he has the talent. He has the talent, as I say, he can make a change. He can, you know, we've seen it. He can just dribble 3-4 men, just put it in the back of the net. So he has the talent to do it. So I just think he needs to step up in that sense.
I think two key battles that I picked up before the game started, before the game's going to go on, is Luke Shaw versus Davide Calabria, and Fred Kessie and Scott McTominay. So those are two key battles that are going to go on in that game, because Luke Shaw has been arguably, you know, Premier League's best left back this season. You can make a case for that. He played so well in the Man City game. He scored a fantastic goal. So he's going to be an attacking threat on that left side. So Calabria has to be on his toes throughout the entire game. And Scott McTominay, too, I think he's a good player. And he's strong, too. He's big and tall. So Kessie's going to be, that's going to be a right, really, really nice physical battle between those two. And like we all said, you know, Liao's just, you know, hot and cold sometimes, like Max was saying about Salamakers. So Liao, and especially Salamakers, they have to be on their game. They can't, you know, just be half-assing it like they sometimes do. And we often do see that. You know, Liao is up against, I think it's Maguire and Lindelof. So that's going to be a really good battle to watch. And Liao, you know, he has to play. If he doesn't play, then we're doomed. And I hope he just realizes that. And Salamakers too. Salamakers versus Wan-Bissaka, I'm not expecting much, because Wan-Bissaka is excellent defensively. Excellent. This might be Salamakers, you know, biggest test in terms of right backs that he's faced so far. Come on, Alexandro, who's he faced? Like Alexandro and stuff like that. No, Salamakers is facing Luke Shaw. My bad. So that's going to be tough for him too, because Luke Shaw is really, really good. So Leo and Salamakers have to step it up.
Yeah, I think
Luke Shaw might not start, to be honest.
Yeah, he did pick
up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in that case, you guys still have Alex Telles, who, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, right, he hasn't had the best start yet, mainly part due to Luke Shaw just being top of this game this season. But, you know, I still think he's a very respectable left back and stuff. I think one thing we should be able to exploit, we need to exploit, I think, similar to Man United, is the pace, because I think one thing our forwards have in terms of Salamaca's layout, and even Castillejo when he wakes up as a footballer, is that they all three have pace. And, you know, Maguire and Lindelof are not the quickest central backs out there. So I think that's something we need to exploit. You know, luckily for us, they don't have the Tomori as a central back. They don't have the quick central back. Obviously, they have Wan-Bissaka and Alex Telles, who are fullbacks and are still kind of pacey. But that's something we need to exploit, and we need Leao to run, which basically means we need him to run instead of just walk around with his head down for 90 minutes, which is not ideal.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka is quite quick and he's good defensively. He's going to be one of their best players in my prediction. Like, that's why I think we'll have a good game.
I'm really scared, honestly. Like, we're missing five starters, like Ibra, our striker, Rebic, our left wing back, and then left winger, and then Bennacer has been gone the entire season, honestly. So, and Theo, you know, we're really gonna miss him. I really want to see Theo versus Shaw, but then I think Telles is better than Dalot, honestly. I'm kind of scared. I feel like they're gonna win like 3-1, or they're only missing Pogba and Shaw, right? And we're missing like five main players, like five starters. As Radin was saying, Samu, if he wakes up, I think he's always awake, but then he's that useless. It doesn't really matter, you know? Samu is just, he is really useless. And Liao, I really hope he does something, because the past two matches, he's been like really, really, really bad. He did nothing. And I'm just scared, guys. Like, you know, like our team looks very bad right now. Hopefully, Krunic pulls a masterclass, honestly, like last two matches. And what else? Yeah, like Naeem said, I hope Cassie, Manmarks, Bruno the entire match. If we can stop Bruno, I think we can, you know, somewhat draw it at least. You know, Bruno is, I think, is the main player, is Bruno for them. If we can somehow stop Bruno, we might, you know, like draw like 1-1 or something. But it's going to be very hard for us. Hopefully by the second leg, you know, we have all our starters back at least Ibra and Theo. Yeah, not really, you know, excited. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, I think that second leg game is going to be a lot better than this first leg game, because Man United and Milan are both going to have players back for that second leg fixture. But Man United have been amazing on the road, though. If you guys noticed that, they're one of the best performing teams away. They have quite the record this season.
To be fair, so have we. We usually do better away from home. I just want to make a quick point about Castillejo. I mean, I know everyone says he's a bit useless, and I was, to an extent, I agree with that. But I think the one thing he's going to be good for, it's his defensive contribution. He's basically Salamaca's 2.0, who just runs around and helps on defense quite a lot. And I think that's going to be useful, and we're going to need him in both. Salamaca's to do it is in order to stop, you know, the likes of Martial and Rashford, who's lucky he's probably not going to play, but we do need his pace and his stamina to just run around 90 minutes pressing, helping back in defense. So I think that's one thing he's going to be good for. And you know, I'm not really sure what's happened with him, because obviously last year he was playing better than Souza. It was January when Souza left, and you know, he was never as good as Souza as a footballer, I don't think, because he never had that technique, but he kept things simple. He did what, you know, the basics, and just kept things and kept the ball moving forward. Whereas this season, he just doesn't do it. The ball goes there, he just loses it, just never comes out. Just, as I said, I think it's just a black hole when the ball goes in that side. So, and I just wanted to get Alif's thought on Dalot, obviously, a Magnano player, and he's been quite inconsistent for us. He's played both right back and left back, and seems to be playing better. He's better for both when he plays for left back, which is a bit weird considering he's a right back, and it's a bit unconditional to have a right back to right footed playing as a left back. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on Dalot, you know, when he was playing for Man United, and then your thoughts now. And would you take him back? Because if you do, you probably do us a favor.
We brought him as a right back, of course. Yeah, it's funny to see him thriving a left back for Milan sometimes. But yeah, he was good for us. Like, he was involved during the PSG comeback, during that Champions League game. But once we brought Wan-Bissaka, he just didn't have a standard chance. And for left back, he can play left back, of course, but we have Luke Shaw, Telles, and then Brandon Williams as well. So he just didn't have a chance. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I mean, I don't think he's done enough for us to have him back, or whether he will come back to us because of the competition. He's just too tired right now.
What I wanted to ask was, when I was kind of thinking of questions to ask, is when we think of Dalot, we think an okay player for us to sign because of his versatility, and when he's playing well, he does play well. But the main thing that we think of is price. So Manu are kind of asking more towards 30 million than to 20 million. So it's more towards the 25 million mark, whereas as Milan fans wouldn't mind him, but for 15 million. So we just wanted to kind of get a Manu perspective. If you get like 25 million for Dalot rather than like 15, is that, as a Manu fan, do you kind of go, oh, okay, we'll take that. They've been bugged off there. We've sold him for way more than he's worth. Or is 25 million fair? What are your thoughts on that?
I think, yeah, 50 million is a pretty good deal. We should offload these players. Like, we shouldn't keep them against their will. And 50 million is a good deal. I'm not sure how much we bought him for, but not that much. But, I mean, Manchester United are in kind of a debt situation right now. They're not doing pretty well because of the fan revenues and stuff. So anything will be good, to be honest. We should just let him be.
What are your thoughts on Dean Henderson? We were talking about him earlier. You know, to make a claim for the first choice spot for Man United next season over De Gea.
Oh yeah, that's a tricky situation. Like, obviously, Dean Henderson is a young prospect. If he doesn't get game time, he will want to move and stuff. But then another problem is David De Gea with his 300k plus wages. So it's a matter of keeping one of them. And apparently we're linked with another goalkeeper as well, because Romero might be leaving. And Lee Grant is like a coach type of role right now. So it's a pretty sticky situation. But David De Gea has been inconsistent for the last 3-4 years, have kind of hampered our points and stuff. But we can't forget his contributions. Like, he was the only reason we would watch games at one point. He saved us like from mid-table, basically. But it's just performance-wise, I'll take Dean Henderson right now.
Yeah, we got a few questions in for you. Are you just quick questions, quick fire questions? You can answer in one line. Are you Pogba in or out? Asked by Madhava.
I'm Pogba in because he's been showing promises this season. He single-handedly won us 9 points this season.
Okay, and is Sancho coming next season?
Sancho, that's a tricky one. I don't think so, to be honest.
Okay. And we're just going to do a quick 11v11 for Man United and Milan real quick. Yeah, so, sure. Matt, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, let me just give me 1 second. Just going to get the starting, like the predicted lineup. So, again, Alif, this is mostly for you as our guest. So just quick fire, really. And if you want to give a quick reason for one of the ones that may be a bit closer, then you can do. So Henderson or Donnarumma?
I'll go with Donnarumma.
Okay. I think that might be one of the few ones we win, to be honest. Wan-Bissaka or Calabria?
I have to go with Wan-Bissaka.
Okay. We'll go right centre-back versus right centre-back. So Lindelof or Simon Kjær?
I'll go with Kjær.
Yeah, I think maybe that might actually be the last one we get. Maguire or Tomori?
I'll just go with Maguire for his heading abilities.
Yeah, I think with Maguire, I think people are a bit harsh on him. Like, because if he doesn't get that £85 million fee, like, then the expectations are a lot lower. But everyone's expecting Van Dijk level performances just because of the fee that Man U paid for him. Luke Shaw or Diogo Dalot?
I'll go with Luke Shaw, basically.
So, Scott McTominay or Sandro Tonali?
I'll go with McTominay.
Kessie or Fred?
I'll go with Kessie.
Yeah, I think Kessie this season, we were discussing on the last podcast, he's literally every weekend doesn't put a foot wrong.
We are one of the best midfielders in Europe, I'd say, right now.
Yeah, sure. I think he is like one of the few players that we have where we're like, God, have we managed to have him? Daniel James or Castillejo? I'll answer that one for you, Daniel James. Mason Greenwood or Salah Marquez? Another easy one, I think, again.
That's another easy one, yeah.
The toughest one coming up now.
The toughest one coming up.
So this one might cause a bit of a debate, but Krunic or Bruno?
Bruno, mate.
That was dope, quite close.
And then the last one, Rafa Leão or Anthony Martial?
Yeah, who walks the most?
Not the same person.
Yeah, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Same person.
We'll call that even.
Hey, that was fun. Do the predictions now, I guess, and wrap it up.
Yeah. Ali, do you want to give your prediction first as the guest?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Score prediction, yeah. And if you want to have a guess on goal scores, go for it. If you're brave.
I feel like, I think Milan's obviously, they will love an away goal, but based on their injuries, like, they might set back. And judging by our history of setting back teams, we won't score that much. But we're sloppy at defense. Lindelof might not start, Bailey might start. So that's a good thing. And to counter the pace of Milan. So I'm predicting either a 1-0 or 2-1 just because of a sloppy defense.
Yeah, I'm saying 2-0 for Man United, and the scorers are going to be a Bruno Fernandes penalty. Actually, no, I'll go 2-1. I'll change that to 2-1. Bruno and Kessié are both getting penalties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'll go with that 2-1. That's my prediction. Man United win 2-1. And we both teams get penalties.
Oh, yeah, 3-1, you know. Bruno scoring a penalty, Kessié scoring a penalty, and then two from, I guess, Daniel Jones. Yeah, I don't know the scores, but I feel it's going to be 3-1. Both teams getting penalty, for sure, yeah, 3-1.
Yeah, I'll go the same as Samir, 3-1. I think that, like Elise said, it might just be a silly goal, a deflection, an error, a penalty for us, but we'll take it. And I think as long as we're like in with a shout, I don't want to have like a PSG Barca situation where the second leg's almost pointless. I want to like be taking them back to San Siro and be like, okay, we can have a go and we've got a chance. And yeah, I think 3-1 would give us that chance, but yeah, I'm not too confident. Rid, do you want to give yours?
I think a lot of people said 2-1/3-1. I'm gonna go with a 2-1. I feel like Castillejo is gonna get a goal. I think ever since I've been criticizing Krunic and anyone else, they always drop a masterclass. I feel like he's gonna get a goal somehow, but I think it is likely gonna be a 2-1 for Manu. It's either 2-1 or 1-1 for me. I feel like we might be able to scrape a draw, but if I had to choose one, I'd probably go 2-1 Man U as well.
Too much negativity here. All of us predicting a loss to Man United. I mean, it's real, being realistic, but I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, it is. To be fair, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us have come to the conclusion that it is going to be hard considering all of our best players are missing. And yeah, it is what it is. Hopefully, we'll get proven wrong like we usually do. But wouldn't mind dropping to relegation zone in the prediction table after this one.
I'll finally get points after predicting Man United win, eh?
Finally.
Right, good one. Matt, you want to wrap it up? Unless we have any more points we're going to bring up.
Now, so I think we're all okay. I'm fine, personally. But yeah, thanks for coming on, Ali. You've been a really great guest. Some good insight on Man U. And yeah, good luck, kind of, for Thursday. But yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, everyone.
This has been episode 6.5 of the Short Corner podcast. Been here with myself, Matt, Rid, Samir, Naeem, and our special guest Ali. Thanks for watching. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on Spotify and all that good stuff. And yeah, thoughts on Milan.